and we end the day with politics. 2022 is an election year. We are inviting major candidates running for state office in Massachusetts to come and make their case to you. Today, we round out our interviews with the three declared major candidates for attorney general, with Democratic candidate and labor attorney Shannon Liss Reardon. Shannon, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Glad to have you. And I'm going to start with a question that we ask all the declared candidates. What makes you right now the right best person to be attorney general for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Well, my career has been defined by taking on big challenges and delivering big results for everyday people. I have spent my legal career using and shaping the law to improve people's lives. I've represented working people for more than 20 years, and during that time, I have made national headlines, leading teams of lawyers, taking on some of the largest corporations in America, and time and again, we've beaten the odds. We've won against these corporations like Starbucks, FedEx, Uber, IBM, my alma mater, Harvard University, which I've sued about four times, and I've represented all types of working people, waitresses, construction workers, truck drivers, Uber drivers, strippers. And I have put hundreds of millions of dollars back in their pockets, money that corporate America stole from them. This work I've been doing in the private sector has changed industries across Massachusetts and throughout the country. And I'm proud of this work. I'm ready to take it to the next level and be the attorney for the people of Massachusetts.
And what does it mean to be the attorney for the people of Massachusetts? What do you think the job of the AG is?
The job of the attorney general, as I see it, is to be a champion for the people. This is the job that I've been doing for the last 20 years through my practice of law. I've spent my career delivering results, making corporations comply with the laws through litigation, working with the legislature to ensure that the proper laws are passed and enacted and enforced and provide the greatest protection for the people of Massachusetts. I see this race as a job interview, and I'm asking the people of Massachusetts to consider my experience, my skills, my passion, and my record in delivering real results when they're deciding who they want to have as the next lawyer for the people of Massachusetts. I'm the only candidate in the race who is a practicing lawyer. I'm the only candidate who has represented working people. I've won the jury trials. I've won the appeals that have shaped the law throughout Massachusetts to better protect the people. And I'm excited to do this with the power of the state behind me.
So you see this as a job interview. Let's take a minute to help the people of Massachusetts get to know who you are. You've told us a lot about your record, a lot about your accomplishments. Let's find out more about you. You strike me as somebody really driven to fight. You have a history working in feminism, and you've talked about the companies you've taken on, the workers you've represented. Where in your life, in your history, does that drive to fight come from?
Well, I knew very early on that my calling in life was to put my skills and my abilities to work, to represent those who most need representation. I've always known that the powerful and the wealthy have their advocates. They have their lawyers. So I've devoted my life and my career to making sure the scales of justice are as even as possible.
So how did you know early on? Was there a moment someone inspired you? How did you know?
So coming right out of college, I was an activist. My early days were spent as an organizer and an activist in the women's movement. And my first job out of college was actually working for the legendary feminist Bella Abzug, who was a mentor for me. She was a hero to me. I learned so much from her. And she was a labor lawyer before she went into politics. I remember seeing the pictures up around her office of rallies and speaking on strike lines. And that just very much excited me, the idea that I could go to law school, get these concrete skills that would allow me to have a tool to devote my career to improving people's lives. So that was the genesis of it. So I've remained an activist lawyer through my career. And I feel that taking on this role is really a continuation of my lifelong work. I've been working as a private attorney general effectively for the last 20 years, and now The work I've done has been with about a dozen lawyers who I have led at my firm, and I'm just excited about the opportunities we could have with the hundreds of lawyers at the Attorney General's office, what we can accomplish there.
So I'm going to stay in this personal space a little bit longer, try to get to know you a little bit better. I know from your campaign website, which I spent some time on, you have a picture of your family there. Who do you want your kids to see as a woman in the public sphere? You know, what example are you trying to set for them?
Yeah, so I've got three kids, two teenagers and an early 20-something. My 16-year-old is my daughter, and I'm so proud of her. And I want to have her see role models, strong women who have decided that they're going to do something and then they go out and they do it. You know, that's just always been a powerful vision for me as a young woman getting involved in the political arena when I was an activist right out of college and I was doing organizing work around the country. And it was a moment then in the early 90s when women, especially young women, were taking power and finding their voice and coming together through diverse coalitions to move forward on the issues they cared about. That just inspired me. That has been what has driven me through all the work I've done representing workers. And I want my daughter and my two sons to grow up in a world where people have those opportunities to have their voice heard and make a difference. And that's just been a powerful inspiration for me to work toward a world that is one that we want to see our children living in.
You know, when we talked with, you know, we've spoken now with all the candidates. When we spoke with Andrea Campbell, who had run for mayor of Boston, is now also running for this seat, also considered a strong woman, she's Black, talked a lot about equity in what she would bring to the AG's office. When you think about how voters look across her, Quentin Palfrey, and you, what's the lane for you to the voters in the whole of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that is the reason to pick you and your lane versus the other two?
So, like I said, I'm asking the people of Massachusetts to look at my record and see what I've accomplished. Not only have I put hundreds of millions of dollars back in the pockets of hardworking people through my career, but I have used the law as a tool. I have moved and shaped the law across industries. I have fought discrimination and won cases I've fought for immigrant workers, for instance. I've taken on industries like the cleaning industry, which has preyed on vulnerable immigrant workers for years, selling jobs to workers based on claiming that they're selling them a business, a franchise. I took that issue up to the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court and got it declared illegal in Massachusetts to sell a job to a worker. As a result of that, no one sells cleaning jobs in Massachusetts anymore. Cleaning workers have the protections and rights of employees. I've done this in industry after industry. I went after the service industry, hotels and fancy restaurants across Massachusetts were stealing workers' tips. I got called by a bunch of waitstaff early in the 2000s about having their managers were taking away their tips. And I looked into it and I realized we had this old law on the books from about 1952 and no one had ever used it before. And I said, I think that this law means that tips are for workers, not for owners. And it took years, but through a string of cases, I established the law here in Massachusetts, and now no hotel, restaurant, airline, gig economy company thinks that they can get away with taking workers' tips.
So let me stop you there. I'd like to ask a couple of follow-up questions in our remaining time. In all of these fights, all of these court cases, your victories and your losses, what is a human truth that you've learned about who we are, about our systems, that you can do something about? You talked about being the private attorney general basically for the last 20 years. And one of the things I want to understand is you've been very successful there, so why not keep doing that? So what is a truth you've learned that the only way to affect that truth is to be attorney general of the Commonwealth?
Yeah, I think the truth that I've learned is that we make our world. I've devoted my life to trying to make this world a better place, and I have put all of my passion and experience and education to work toward that goal of helping everyday people. And I am excited about the possibility of having the power of the state behind me as I continue with this work. And my work has been focused on worker protections, labor rights, but the things that I have learned and the battles I've fought and that I have won, I think apply just as well to all of the areas the Attorney General is responsible for: consumer protection, ensuring that polluters do not evade our environmental protections. Climate change is an existential threat that we need to be focused on to save our planet, make it a place our children can live in. And that is what I've done through my career, is holding corporations accountable, making sure they play by the rules. I know how to do this through the courts, through litigation, but also through the legislature, knowing that we need to shape and reform our laws to be those tools that we can use to lead a brighter tomorrow.
So tell us about a loss, a case you lost, and a lesson you learned that has changed how you work and how you fight and how you do what you do.
Well, I'll tell you about one case I lost. When I started to talk about the TIPS cases, when I first started taking those cases on back in, 2001, 2002, I was so sure that I was right. I fought that first case all the way up to the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. And I was up there and I realized they don't get it. I lost this case. And so I actually withdrew that appeal quickly before I learned that I couldn't let that decision come out. I withdrew that appeal and I kept going. And then the next case, I actually lost the next case. But then I didn't stop. I kept going. And the next case I won. And the next case I won. And then the next case and the next case after that. And in the course of about 10 years, my string of cases had changed the service industry in Massachusetts, and then that got replicated across the country. So my law partner tells stories about me that I'm just someone who does not let things go. When I'm committed to something, when I'm passionate about something, I do not let it go, and I keep going until we prevail. And I've done that a lot through my career, and that's what I want to do for the people of Massachusetts as their next Attorney General.
And that is Shannon Liss-Riordan, labor attorney and Democratic candidate for Attorney General. Shannon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Turning now to senior political reporter Anthony Brooks from here at WBUR. Anthony was listening to that conversation. Welcome back, Anthony.
Hi, Tiziana. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. So we actually have you here to talk more politics, which is about the withdrawal of Danielle Allen's candidacy for governor. But I want to get a chance to have you react to what we just heard from Shannon Liss-Riordan.
Yeah, I had a nice interview with her when she was running for Senate against Senator Markey. In many ways, her message and experience, I think, would probably resonate with lots of Massachusetts voters. She's taken on big corporations, as she said. She's won. I think her idea that she's been working as a kind of private AG is a good line. I guess her challenge is that she's a political novice, who's going to be running against folks with a lot more experience, particularly Andrea Campbell, the former city councilor and candidate for mayor of Boston. But overall, I think all three Democrats running for AG, Liss-Riordan, Quentin Palfrey, and Andrea Campbell, make a pretty strong group of candidates. And it's going to be an interesting race to watch, this contest for the Democratic nomination.
Okay, so let's turn to other politics now. The news that Harvard professor Danielle Allen ended her bid for the governor's seat yesterday. Remind us who Danielle Allen is and about that bid for governor.
Right. Well, Danielle Allen never held elective office, but she's got an impressive academic resume. She's a political theorist at Harvard, where she directs the Edmund J. Safra Center for Ethics. She's also a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient, and she became dean at the University of Chicago when she was just 32 years old. So very impressive resume. She got into the race last June. She's a former Republican. She ran as a progressive with a focus on inequality. Danielle Allen made the case that while lots of people in Massachusetts are doing very well, millions of people in the state are not. She said way too many families are struggling to get by, including many who are suffering from food insecurity. And she said the pandemic has shown how many of these inequities are baked into our society. And she put forth a bunch of policy proposals, including most recently a proposal to decriminalize drugs. Now, if she had been successful, she would have been the first African-American woman to become governor of Massachusetts.
So, but now she's out. So tell us what we know about why.
Well, she didn't offer a specific reason, but she did express dismay about a political system that makes it hard for candidates like her without political experience to run for office. In a statement, she said there's no excuse for ballot access procedures that push out qualified but non-traditional candidates and rob the people of Massachusetts of real choice on their ballots. And she said that working on political reform in this area is going to be a priority of hers going forward. We know that she had about $500,000 in her campaign account. That's not a lot to run statewide on. Attorney General Maura Healey, by contrast, the apparent front runner in the race, has close to $4 million. So with Allen out, there are now two Democrats vying for the job, Healey and State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz.
So a couple of follow-ups there. First, you know, I noted that you said Shannon Liss Reardon is a political novice. Now we have Danielle Allen here saying, if you haven't made it into elected politics already, it's very hard to break in. Do you see that barrier for Shannon Liss Reardon that Danielle Allen is talking about?
Well, I mean, I think... Yeah, I mean, I think running as an outsider is always a challenge, but it can also be the reason that a candidate breaks through. I mean, you know, let's not forget Deval Patrick was very much a political outsider when he waged a very successful grassroots campaign for governor and, you know, became a successful governor and the first African-American governor in state history. So it can be done, but it's a challenge. It's a steep hill to climb.
So that's on the Democrat side. Let's talk about Republican businessman Chris Doty. And I want to note we've had all the other major candidates for governor here on the show. We are in talks now with Doty's team to bring him on to Radio Boston. He also doesn't have a formal political background, but he's a Republican and each party operates on their own. Do you see him facing similar challenges?
Yes and no. I mean, like Allen, Doty is also a political outsider, which brings challenges for sure. But unlike Allen, Doty is a wealthy businessman who's prepared to self-fund his campaign. But here's his big challenge. I mean, as a moderate, he has to get by Jeff Diehl and win the nomination in the Republican Party, which is dominated by pro-Trump Republicans. So he has a whole set of different challenges, very unlike Danielle Allen faced. But again, people do come out, you know, come from nowhere and can surprise people. So I'm not trying to prejudge his campaign at all, but those are the challenges for sure.
With just a minute left, Anthony, on the Democratic side, you noted Attorney General Maura Healey, State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz left in the race. What impact, if any, because I know it's early, does Danielle Allen withdrawing have on the calculus or the odds for those two candidates?
Well, like you said, it's early, but I mean, it probably helps Chang Diaz because if you're running against a popular and well-funded Maura Healey, you want to present yourself as the sort of alternative, maybe the progressive alternative. And with Allen and Chang in the race together, it would have been harder for both of them to compete for that progressive alternative mantle. Now with Allen out, Sonia Chang Diaz has that lane to herself, so you have to assume that it helps her in that way.
All right. That is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. No, we will have you back again soon. There is a lot to talk about. Anthony, thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tiziana. Thank you.